All right, Shoreline, how are we doing? Decent. That sounds like a decent response. Glad you guys are here. We are continuing our summer series called Reputation. And we started last week, and the idea behind this series is that every single one of us has a reputation. And your reputation is what others believe is true about you. What others believe is true about you. And so last week, we kind of talked about the first aspect of the reputation that should mark a Christian high schooler. And so if you're in the room and you're not a Christian, or if you're in the room and you're on the fence of whether you should go all in with Jesus or no, I'm not speaking specifically to you, but I hope that when you hear what will mark a follower of Jesus, that you will decide to go fully and all in with your relationship with God. So grab your Bible, grab a journal as we dive in to this week's message. So last week we talked about love, and we finish with the idea that love with God as its source can mark the Christian's reputation. Love with God as its source can mark the Christian's reputation. And our theme verse kind of for this summer is Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And it says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And so these are the undeniable virtues that should mark your life. If you profess to be a follower of Jesus, these things should be true of you, not because you work hard enough or do enough good things, but because you surrender to the Holy Spirit of God, who does the work of producing this kind of fruit in your life. Make sense? So last week we talked about love, and obviously we're talking about the next reputation that should mark you, which is joy. All right, so here we go. To set up where we're going, just about 6 months ago, almost to the day, I got married. Yeah, thank you. This is a picture of me and my wife, Hannah. She's also back there. As I was walking down the aisle, that's a picture of me doing the feed Zeke thing as I'm walking out, celebrating this union, the promises and commitment that I just made to my wife. It was an incredible day of celebrating with friends and family and loved ones, and it was beautiful. Food was great. We got to take amazing pictures. Golden hour was amazing, etc. It was an amazing wedding. But then we went on our honeymoon. And we went specifically to Hawaii. And we went on tons of different adventures. This picture is of me. I'm drenched in sweat, as you can tell, from this like 4 mile hike. And then there's my wife trying to do the same picture I just took at the same hike. It was an incredible adventure. Here's a picture of us at a waterfall. It was my dream to just hang out in there. Here's another picture of us at some place that looks nothing like Texas, although I love Texas. It was amazing. And it got y'all. How many of you guys like acai bowls? Yep. We got some people in the room. Okay, there you go. Keep that picture up there for just a second. Okay, imagine any acai bowl that you've ever eaten that has ever touched your tongue and your taste buds. And imagine that the ones that my wife is holding in this picture are 50 times better than any acai bowl that you've ever tasted. It was so good. We got to experience so much joy, you know, going on adventures, eating good food, hanging with one another, seeing beautiful sights. It was an amazing time where we experienced the joy of our newfound relationship, right? But right before this adventure, unforgettable honeymoon, for the months before, I was going through one of the most challenging times of my life. You can get off that picture of my beautiful wife now. Thanks. The months before, if you don't know, I'm not from America, as you can hear by my voice. I was born in Jamaica, and I grew up in St. Martin in the Caribbean. And to live and work legally here in America, every few years, I have to apply for and or renew a work visa so that I can, you know, stay and work. And so back in kind of the spring of 2018, while we were just engaged, we had started this process with our lawyers, and we were waiting to just hear back on whether or not I was going to be approved for this visa, right? And so there are moments where I thought, or where it was very possible that I would have to leave this country, leave my job, leave my house, leave my friends, leave my fiance behind for an undetermined amount of time and go back to Jamaica or wherever they would kick me out to and figure out life from there. And that was crazy. It was a time that I could have been anxious or fearful or just stressed with this lingering sense of uncertainty. But I want to tell you that those months, those 7 months of waiting in that season weren't marked by anxiety or stress or fear. They were marked by joy. And I had a blast during those few months as I continued to cultivate my relationship with my fiance, or I went on an amazing trip with friends to Colorado, and we ate good food, and we had great conversations, and I enjoyed the blessings of friendship, or I went to Disney World for the first time, and it was incredible, or I hung out with my family and friends, celebrated Christmas and birthdays, and all of these different things happened, and I experienced incredible joy. All while in the background, there was this really hard thing that I was going through. And the reason why I tell you those two stories is that in one of those stories, it's easy to experience joy, right? You're on your honeymoon, you're in Hawaii. How can you not be joyful? It's easy to experience joy in that scenario. But in the other one, it's not as easy, right? It's not as easy when life is uncertain. It's not as easy when there's difficulty that you're facing that may be beyond your control. It's not as easy to experience joy. But I want to present to you tonight that it is possible because of Jesus. Anyone can experience the emotion of joy. Anyone, any human being can experience the emotion of joy tied to, you know, an accomplishment, something that you're celebrating, or an experience in life. But only certain people can experience the quality of joy, like joy that is a part of who you are, joy that sticks around, joy that stays no matter what you're experiencing. You see, the emotion of joy is temporary and it's tied to what's happening in your life. But the quality of joy is permanent and it is provided by the Holy Spirit. And you know this, you know what I'm about to say is that we live in a world that is marked by sadness, right? Your friends, your classmates, people you know, the world in general. Sadness is a distinguishing mark of our world today. And I think that one of the reasons is that most people only know and experience the emotion of joy, while others, a few, experience the quality, the joy that sticks around, the kind of joy that stays. And we all want that, right? Deep in your heart, you know you want to be that person that no matter what is happening in your life, you have a magnetic joy that radiates and that people are attracted to you because you stand strong and stand firm, whether it's good or whether it's bad in your life. We all want to experience that kind of joy, the joy that stays. So I'm going to share with you for the next few moments how you can experience joy that stays, how you can experience joy that stays. So we'll work towards a definition of joy, and we'll give you a few helpful points of application to experience this kind of joy. So the way where we're going to start with is answering this question or discussing this topic. What joy that is steady and sure and stays is not, okay? We're going to rule out these other options that might be floating around in your head of what joy is, and then we'll come to a definition. All right, so what joy is not? The first thing that joy is not ignoring your emotions and pretending to be happy. Joy is not ignoring your emotions and pretending to be happy. Romans 12, verse 15 tells us this. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. In other words, if you have a friend, a family member, someone close to you that is experiencing something that is worthy of celebration, they graduated from high school, they got their driver's license, they're going on an awesome vacation with their family, they're experiencing something really fun in some friendships or relationships, Scripture calls followers of Jesus to celebrate with that person. But then that very same verse calls us to mourn with those who mourn. And so if you have a friend or a loved one that's experiencing just grief from the loss of a family member through death, like, it is your call, it is your responsibility to mourn and to be sad with them. Or someone that's going through a really hard time, health-wise or otherwise, Scripture is encouraging you and me as a follower of Jesus to mourn with those who mourn. And not only that, it's a weird tension, right? Where it is even encouraging you that even though something hard is happening in your life, something challenging, that you should still rejoice with your friend who's experiencing something really fun, like going on a fun vacation with their family or friends, and not be jealous of them or not be annoyed that that's not you. Or the other way around, where you're experiencing extreme joy, but you have a friend that is struggling, Scripture is also calling you to rejoice and enjoy, you know, whatever that is, while at the same time mourning with your friend or whoever it is that's going through something really hard. And so joy isn't pretending that everything's okay if it's not. Joy is not in the midst of a sad or hard or difficult situation being like, God is good, I love him so much, my life is awesome, everything is awesome if everything's not awesome. They taught you that in the Lego Movie Part 2, right? Even if it's an unrealistic expectation, the song that in that movie says, that it's not always going to be awesome all the time, and you don't have to pretend like it is. If you're pretending like your life is awesome and everything is rosy, man, it's unrealistic. It's not the joy that Scripture calls us to experience. It's not the joy that stays. It's not the joy that is consistent. So joy is not ignoring emotions and pretending to be happy. The next thing that joy is not is an extension of that. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Joy is not dependent on your circumstances. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. This is the writer of Hebrews is talking to these Christians who had experienced some hardship in their lives. And he's reminding them of some things that they've endured. He says this in Hebrews 10, 32 through 34. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who suffered the same things. You suffered along with them, verse 34 says, who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, what did the Christians do? They accepted it with joy. How can you accept it with joy when everything you love and know and cherish and treasure is taken from you? He gives you an answer and a glimpse into what we'll be talking about a little bit later. He says, you knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. And so he was saying that the Christians could accept their losses with joy because there was something bigger, something better awaiting them down the road. And so these Christians understood that your joy isn't tied to your circumstance, because having everything taken away from you is not awesome. But that's what they were experiencing. But still, they accepted it or they experienced a joy that is consistent, a joy that stays. So joy isn't ignoring your emotions. Joy is not dependent on your circumstances. And the third thing that joy is not is that joy is not found in accomplishment and pleasure. Joy is not found in accomplishment and pleasure. So as I was studying and preparing for this message, the scripture that kept coming to my mind that illustrates this point so clearly is found in your Bibles in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And so I'll read a paraphrased version of it, but it's the wise man, the wisest man who ever lived. His name is Solomon, and he is documenting how he sought to experience joy and satisfaction in life through his accomplishments, through his possessions, through his success, through his money, and through everything that you can think of. And he comes to a conclusion that I want every one of us to see, that joy is not found in your accomplishments or in pleasure. So I'll read it really quickly, verses 4 through 11. Follow along with me, and I want you to even pay attention to how many times he says, I, you know, did something, okay? So he says this, oh, I did great things. I built houses, I planted vineyards, I designed gardens and parks and planted a variety of fruit trees in them. I made pools of water to irrigate the grove of trees. I bought slaves, male and female, who had children, giving me even more slaves. Keep going. Then I acquired large herds and flocks, larger than any before me in Jerusalem. I piled up silver and gold, loot from kings and kingdoms. I gathered a chorus of singers to entertain me with song, and most exquisite of all pleasures, voluptuous maidens for my bed. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Are you tracking? If you weren't tracking, here's what he says to summarize all that he just said. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. And so he had money, he had success, he had status, he had possessions, he had riches, he had joy. He had everything that you probably think of when you think, man, if I just had this, if this would just happen in my life, then I'd be joyful, then I'd be satisfied. If this one thing would happen, if this one person would do this, then I would be fulfilled, then I would experience joy. And this man who has all of those questions answered said this, but as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless. Like chasing the wind, grabbing something that is always out of reach. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. And so Solomon is encouraging you by his unfortunate experience that joy is not found in accomplishments or in pleasure. As much as you might think that that's the case, if you just had that one thing, if you just got into that friend group, if you just got this academic accomplishment, if you just had enough money or your family had enough money, then everything would be awesome. And Solomon is saying, I tried it all. And it's not there. And if you think Solomon is from 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago, and so he doesn't understand the world in 2019, I want to introduce you to my friend, well, my friend from afar, Thomas Brady. He is, if you don't know sports, and we get it, you don't like sports, like my wife, but whatever. Everyone knows who Tom Brady is. So there he is. Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, with a beautiful wife, amazing family, 5 or 6 Super Bowl rings, I don't even know, all the money in the world, a personal chef, you know, he can do anything he wants at any time, go on any vacation, be anywhere he wants, he's successful, he's well-known, he's famous, he has it all. He should have the most joy in the world, right? Or does he? Watch this.
Can you go out to restaurants?
If I have the energy to deal with, you know, putting a happy face on, sometimes I don't feel like that.
Now, you seem a bit the reluctant star.
Well, the problem is you can't have one without the other. You can't have the football fame and not the other stuff. So, in a lot of ways, I've created this myself.
It's what you always wanted.
You're right. It has. And I didn't think it came with all the other baggage, though.
The most eligible bachelor in America.
Well, it's very flattering. But at the same time, I don't think I sleep any better at night. Being that. No way.
Do you mean like alone or not alone? What did you mean by that?
Yeah, that's right.
But with all that money, fame, and career accomplishments, we were surprised to hear this from him.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I love playing football, and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find.
Okay, first observation is when you're rich, you can just wear the dumpiest looking clothes and no one cares, like he did. But way more important than that is his answer. He was like, hey, I have a beautiful wife. I have all the money. I have all the fame. I have all the success. I can go on whatever vacation I want. I have everything. I'm at the pinnacle of my sport. I'm a one of the most famous people in the world. And still, I lay at night, not able to fall asleep, asking myself, man, is this it? Is this all there is? There's got to be something more. And it's because him and us, normal people, we seek joy. We seek the emotion of joy, and we seek it sometimes in our accomplishments or the things that we can get. And if that's what you do, man, you will continually come up empty. So, if the true joy that stays, that sticks around, isn't found in your emotions or your circumstances or in your accomplishments and pleasure, so where is it found? I'm glad you asked because I'm about to tell you. What the joy that stays is, what the joy that stays, that sticks around, that is steady, that is sure, what is it? Where is it found? I'm going to share with you one verse. I remind you of a couple of things and I'll be out of here. Psalm 16:11. If you've never read it or if you've never memorized it, I encourage you to. It's written by David, King David, and he's talking about God and he's talking about who God is to him, right? And he talks about this idea that God is his refuge. God is his portion of his inheritance. God is his counselor at night. And he summarizes it all at the end of Psalm 16. And contrast this with Ecclesiastes 2, when Solomon was like, hey, I am trying to do this. I am building this. I am seeking this. I am gathering this for myself. And listen to how you understand or how you come to the point where you experience joy that stays. He says this, you, speaking of God, will make known to me the path of life. In your presence, God, is fullness of joy. And in your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. He's saying that the only place that you can experience lasting joy, joy that stays, joy that stays with you regardless of what's happening in your life, is in the presence of God. But we all have a problem. We were all born broken and sinful and rebelling against God's way. And God knew that, and he decided to send his son Jesus to live a perfect life, to die on the cross in shame and unfairly, because he wanted to redeem you. He wanted to buy you back. He wanted you to experience the fullness of joy in his presence. And the only way to do that is to be holy and righteous and perfect. And so we are made holy and righteous and perfect when we place our faith and our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And through Jesus, we get access to God's presence. And in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. That's what David is saying. And if you try to find lasting joy on your own, working hard enough, making the friends or the connections you need, you think you need, you'll come up empty every time, just like Solomon, just like Tom Brady. See, joy is not found in whatever makes you happy. Joy is found in a relationship with Jesus. Joy is unshakable satisfaction. It is trust, which comes from a right relationship with God. Joy is unshakable satisfaction and trust that comes from a right relationship with God. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And so, to maybe say it in a way that's more memorable and cheesy, and hopefully you will remember it, it's this. To have joy that stays, keep Jesus in full gaze. See what I did there? Try to rhyme a Z and a Y and an S. To have joy that stays, keep Jesus in full gaze. What does that mean? If you want the joy that is present and stays and does not fade away regardless of what you're going through, the way to do that is to keep your gaze, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who made it possible for you to experience joy in all of its fullness, not temporary joy, but the joy that lasts, the joy that stays. To have joy that stays, keep Jesus in full gaze. So, in summary, how to experience joy that stays? I'm going to give you two practical points, and then we'll be done. How to experience joy that stays. In the first way, after you've understood your need for a Savior and that's the key to experience fullness of joy, the first way that you can experience this joy is by enduring the hard stuff of life. Every one of you knows that it's true. Every one of us has experienced something tough. Maybe right now, you're sitting in this room and your mind is on something that's going on and you really want it to be resolved, or you really want to find hope or meaning in this moment. And one of the ways that you experience joy that stays is by enduring the hard stuff of life. Romans 8:18 says this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Roman Christians and to you if you're a follower of Jesus. And he says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us." And so this man who was shipwrecked, this man who was beaten, left for dead, thrown in prison, people tried to kill him wherever he went. He endured so many hardships in his life. And he says, when I think about those things that I've endured, or the things that have caused me to suffer in this present time, they are not even worth comparing to the glory that I will receive, that will be revealed in my life in the life to come. And so he has this perspective that this life isn't all that there is. And the hard stuff that you're experiencing now, or will experience, or know someone that has experienced, is temporary. And that God, in his kindness and grace and goodness, is keeping and preparing for us an amazing, amazing opportunity of being with him for all eternity. No pain, no difficulty, no sin, no nothing except the joy, the fullness of joy of a relationship with God and all that comes with that. And he's saying, when I compare the awesomeness that awaits me, man, the hard stuff that I am experiencing right now, it's small. It's tiny. I can push through it. I can make it through. Not pretending that I'm not sad or, you know, pushing my emotions down, but knowing that I have hope. This is only true if you're a follower of Jesus. This promise is made to those who are followers of Jesus. So if you're not a Christian in the room or listening, you should become one because it's awesome. Because there is so much that God has promised that awaits us who have placed our faith and trust in him, that it makes our challenges of today look very, very small. So how to experience a joy that stays? You endure the hard stuff of life. And then the second thing that you do is you enjoy the good gifts in life. You enjoy the good gifts in life. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift. If you're a person that loves good food and you sit down at an incredible meal with your friends or with your family and you're like, this is so good, whatever it is your favorite meal is, do you know that that is a gift from God? If you're a person that loves hanging out with people and you're sitting and having great conversations and you just experience joy in that moment, do you know that that moment, that opportunity is a gift from God? If you love the great outdoors and you love to go hiking or running or doing whatever, do you know that your ability to experience that and enjoy that, that that is a gift from God? Do you know that at every moment that your eyes are blinking, that there's something working in your brain every second, every time your eyes blink, where God is making sure that your eyes can continue to blink? Do you know that that's a gift from God? Do you know that second by second, he gives you good gift after good gift after good gift because he is a good God? And it's so easy to lose sight of the little things in life that God blesses us with. You know, we pay so much attention to maybe the hard thing or this big thing that you want fixed or this prayer request even that you have, that you lose sight of the treasures and the riches and the gifts that are right in front of you. Every good and perfect gift is from above. So, to have joy that stays, keep Jesus in full gaze. To have joy that stays, keep Jesus in full gaze. And that's why I was able to enjoy, you know, my honeymoon and the adventures that we went on. But also, that's why I was able to enjoy my life, even in the midst of this impending uncertainty that I was experiencing. I can have joy in both and have joy in both even at the same time because I have a joy that isn't rooted in me, that isn't rooted in what I can do, and you can have it too. A joy that is rooted in a relationship with God that you get to experience as you submit to God's Holy Spirit every single day. Galatians 5:22-23 again says this, but the Holy Spirit produces, not you. You're not gonna make yourself have a joy that stays. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit, if you're a follower of Jesus, produces this kind of fruit in your life as you submit to him, as you surrender to him, love and joy. So a couple questions and then we'll be done. And some of you need to answer one. Some of you need to answer both. Some of you need to even think of even more questions. Some people in a room need to just evaluate where their joy comes from. Like seriously, like ask yourself the question, where does my joy come from? Is it from my circumstances? Is it from what I have? Is it from what I accomplish? Because that joy is real, but it's temporary. And it's going to be here today and gone before you know it. Some of you need to entrust yourself to the source of true and lasting joy, joy that stays, a relationship with the Father, with God, because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. Some of you need to take action. You know that joy comes from a relationship with God and by putting your gaze on Jesus. And here's a question that you need to ask and answer for yourself. What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to change about how I think, about what I say, how I live, what I watch, what I listen to, how I treat others? What do I need to do as I surrender and submit myself to God's Holy Spirit and His Word and His people? How do I take action so that I can experience a joy that stays? Because to have joy that stays, you must keep Jesus in full gaze. Let me pray that you would. God, thank you so much for these students and leaders and everyone in this room. Thank you for the opportunity we had to be reminded from your word that joy is only found in a true and lasting joy, is only found in a relationship with you. Thank you that through Jesus, we get to experience fullness of joy, joy that is complete. I pray for people in the room that are followers of you, that they would go all in, and that they would endure the hard stuff of life and enjoy the good in life because they point back to you. And I pray for people in this room that are struggling, going through something hard, or maybe aren't followers of you. I pray that tonight would be the night that they would place their faith in you or surrender their lives to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.